Chuck Chat Technorama for Sunday, August 28th, 2005.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocopic Margo vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. Ambifacient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that's been helping men with hard drive problems for nearly 4 months. I'm Chuck Tomasi. With me is my co-host, Craig Stepp.
Hello.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got some scripts you are writing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm trying to consolidate.
We've got an iPhoto plugin from Flickr. And those are the things we're going to get to if we get past our first topic. We have a special in-studio, virtual studio guest. We've got Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page. Hello, Summer.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Oh, wow, it's a girl. You know, geeks get around women.
Oh, you're going to get goofy, aren't you?
I'm speechless.
She hasn't been listening to our shows, Craig.
You're right.
Before we go much further, we have to settle down while we listen to some words from our sponsor.
The next live promotion sponsored by GoToMeeting is on September 3rd, when the TechPodcast.com Roundtable members will be demonstrating the power of Real Simple Syndication and OPML, teaching you how to find the information you're looking for and to become more proficient in consuming your data. Topics covered will include news aggregators, Technorati, PubSub, Feedster, and a whole lot more. Members will show their tips and tricks in using various news aggregators, plus you won't want to miss an exciting segment covering the brand new OPML editor. Plus, discover the hack we found out that will allow you to use the Microsoft Word Blogger tool with any weblog. Everyone that attends will go away understanding the power of RSS and OPML. This promotion presented via GoToMeeting allows us to share our screens as if it were your own. Additionally, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. See the show notes to sign up for this live event and visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for your free trial.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
On this day in geek history... It was on this day in 1885 that Gottlieb Daimler patents the world's first motorcycle. Goodyear Tire Company is founded on this day in 1898. And the Soviet Union tests its first atomic bomb, known as First Lightning, or Joe-1, in Kazakhstan, on this day in 1949. I'm sorry, I don't speak Russian. The synthetic chemical element... meitnerium, atomic number 109, is first synthesized in Darmstadt, Germany, on this day in 1982. I don't speak meitnerium. And the release of Terminator 2 Judgment Day was on this day in 1997. That's all I could find. It's a low day for geek history today. I was going to borrow from Monday, since most of you will get the show on Monday anyway. But that's the way it was on this day, August 28th, throughout history. Oh yeah, we have fun with that, don't we?
Oh yeah.
We're back. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Podcast Brothers. We can't steal their line.
Alrighty.
Craig, you've got one quick follow-up about Windows 95. Since
last week,
Wednesday, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about the launch of Windows 95, and what, 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was funny because I'd heard this before, but I'd forgot all about it. It says, here's the article. It says, not everything related to Windows 95 launch went well. In St. Louis, Post-Dispatch reported that a local CompUSA store found their cash registers crashed at midnight, forcing the eager customers to wait 90 minutes before they could buy it. Remember, everybody was standing in line to buy Windows 95? The cause was a bug in the cash register software that laid undiscovered because the store had never been open past midnight before.
And they weren't even running Windows 95 yet.
No, probably Windows 3.1 or something.
No, it was probably some specialized point-of-sale program. All right, we have one more quick ad to run here. Another word from our wonderful sponsors over at GoDaddy.
Get your own piece of the internet and save over 20% at GoDaddy. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and my friends at GoDaddy.com make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, for listeners of this show, you can get .com names for just $6.95 at GoDaddy. No limit. Just enter TECH2, that's T-E-C-H, and the number 2 is your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com.
Now, as I mentioned, our in-house, in-studio guest is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page. We've talked to Michael, we've talked to Evo, now we've got Summer. I guess we only have to round out the quad with Joe at some point. Does he have any qualifications?
Is he on the speaking tour?
No, he's got some geek qualities.
Will you be at the expo?
No, I will not.
My traveling
this year is limited.
Okay. Well, Craig has a question for you.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I wanted to start off everything and, you know, tell you, well, we told you that we're going to interview, but actually we're going to start a new reality series in the podcast. and to see if you're voted off, the first question is Emacs or VI?
Ooh, basically both. I learned Emacs, and then I just went to VI because of simplicity.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you get to stay on the island.
Technorama Island. Now, Summer, you got an early start in computing and geekdom stuff. Give us a rundown of how you got thrown into this at a tender young age.
At the age of, I believe, 14... some special program went through the junior high schools in my county looking for women and minorities or girls, you know, minorities and girls who were good in science. So everybody who got A's that year in science class got rounded up. girls and minorities, we all got rounded up, and we spent literally all summer at Goddard Space Flight, NASA Goddard. So
sounds like you're living in the USSR. Their grades are good. Bring them.
Yes, it was one of those things. We need more chicks.
Now you got involved with the satellite program?
Yeah, my first experience actually hands on a computer was we spent 2 weeks with one of the CSAT actually. One of the orbiting satellites, and I learned Fortran in a week, and we started playing around with code. Writing Fortran programs on punch cards, looking at running code on satellites that were in orbit just to see examples of good structure, good coding form, what have you. And my little precocious self found a bug.
There you go.
I'm looking at this code, and I knew instantaneously that the equation was wrong. It wasn't anything major. It was just they had a miscalculation in date conversion. Nothing, just simple. Mm-hmm. And I pointed it out to our mentor, and I said, I think this is wrong. She looked at me like, what are you talking about? No way. And she looks at it and goes, she looks at me,
Leave
looks
me.
At the code again, looks at me again, walks into the next room to a bespectacled older gentleman in a white lab coat, gives him the printout, points at it, points at me, he looks at it, he looks at me, he looks at it, he looks at me, he got this look on his face like, who the hell are you?
And it was a clear case of American blind justice.
And yep. and the following week, he wasn't there, and she's sitting in his chair.
I have no idea. I just thought it was kind of cool. They're like, yeah, they're going to go fix that right now. Thank you. I'm like, really? Cool.
That's awesome.
Before it crashes on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, all the satellites would have fell right on New York or something. Yeah, fix that.
No, it just means that the date stamps on the images that they were sending back were like off by like half a day or something.
So that could be a big problem.
Yeah, it could be.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I thought that was awesome when you told me about that. I'm like, whoa, there's a good one you won't hear very often. We've got some other dirty facts about you that I gathered on our earlier correspondence that we'll dig up throughout the show.
Cool.
Unless you PayPal us during the conversation, we won't bring some of this up.
Nah, they're pretty harmless.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Craig, so you've been go ahead.
I was going to say, you've been a Unix sysadmin for 20 years?
23 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how'd you get into Unix then? I guess because of the satellite stuff? Or
no, actually, I started playing with Macintoshes, Apple IIs. First mm-hmm. off, and then I got to college, and then they had I played on mainframes in high school, got to college, and they started getting these new things called IBM PCs and playing with DOS, and I'm like, I've already played on a mainframe, I'm not impressed. I started in the computer science program at Maryland playing on mainframes, and got onto, I think there was a couple of PDP 11s back there that were hooked up to the ARPANET back then.
Free internet.
Yep. And I just kept using them, and then they, Windows 3.1 eventually came out, and I'm like, nice Minesweeper game, but other than that, still not impressed.
Solitaire's all right.
No, I actually was hooked on the Minesweeper game for to start out with, but I didn't see what all the fuss was about. Mm-hmm. So I just, stayed over in my little Unix playground where I could, literally be in chat rooms, IRC relays, talking to 20 different people, typing. Literally, my fastest calculated typing time was 125 words a minute.
That's wow. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, back in the day, in the DOS days, when I was setting up a bunch of machines, I got really fast at typing copycon autoexec.bat and the set of commands. I bet I typed about 300 words a minute doing that, but I don't know. I couldn't match your speed.
Yeah.
So, Summer, UUCP, Honey Dan Bear?
Oh, my goodness.
Or did you move up to Taylor later on?
We used... I think it was the Honey Dan Bear. Oh my goodness, UUCP. I can almost remember the bang paths.
Wasn't that ridiculous? You had the file that told how to get from everybody to everybody else mm-hmm. when there were only 900 nodes on the internet at the time.
Mm-hmm. It was like UUCB backs bang UMDD bang. Oh my goodness. I remember having to copy the host.txt file we got from ISI to all of our systems. This was pre-DNS.
Ah, the good old days.
Oh, my word.
I thought I'd throw you back in flashbacks. She's having Vietnam flashbacks.
Cold sweats.
Oh. It's like we're being hacked. Pull the modem.
The telebit modem.
We had what was it? Began with an R.
Rakel Vedic.
No.
Okay, I give up.
It was
Rotary?
After that. No.
U.S. Robotics.
That's the one.
That doesn't begin with an R.
It is. It was robotics. You know, USR.
Drop the U.S. and you're there.
Yep. They are, the U.S. was not part of the name. It was USR.
Yeah, that's right. So you collect full-size arcade games?
I used to collect full-size arcade games.
Used to? Mm-hmm. Would you get them all?
I got rid of the last one last year, and this is a symbol of the universe telling me I need to reacquire my favorite game.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, while driving up to the Draco Vista Studios to record Winging It and mm-hmm. Cover to Cover, I drove past a Jeep, you know, Jeep Cherokee, Laredo, whatever the big one is, mm-hmm. dragging a trailer, and in that trailer, partially covered up, were two arcade games. One was NBA Slam, or NBA Jam, rather, and the other was Star Wars, the original Star Wars cabinet in beautiful condition. And that was my final game. I sold it on eBay about a year and a half ago.
Hmm.
Gorgeous game, perfect working condition. I played it every week. The sound was perfect. The video was perfect.
Oh,
my goodness, I missed that game.
Was it stand up or sit down?
This I actually had both. At one point in time, when I lived in New Jersey, I had 11 games.
Wow.
That's pretty good. You have to have a good-sized room to keep those in. I mean,
Most of them were in storage. I had the stand-up Star Wars in my dining room. I had mm-hmm. a cocktail table Zaxxon in my living room.
Those are awesome.
I had Hogan's Alley standing by the fridge. Do you remember that one?
Oh yeah.
Hogan's Alley, the big orange gun, click, click, click. That was my favorite.
I
convinced my boss at the job I was working at the time. He came with a couple of us to an arcade auction where we were just buying games, and he said, "Hey, get some games for the office." I'm like, You serious? And he's like, "Yeah, sure. Here's my card. Go get something good." I'm like, "Oh my god!" So he actually didn't give us the card, but he went with us the next time, and he bought Defender, Robotron, 720, and Donkey Kong for the office.
Ah, sweet.
I set personal records on the Robotron. I had never scored a 20 million point game before, but I did.
You know, Tron has always been my game.
Mm-hmm. Friend of mine has that in his basement right now.
Oh man, I can't play the MAME version very well because you got to get really coordinated with a keyboard and a mouse and everything. But the stand up, I could rock that game. Mm-hmm. I could play that for an hour on quarter, no problem.
I was probably upper advanced on that game. That was one of my favorites as well.
Yeah, that one. He's got Tron, Galaga, Kangaroo, Joust. And like three other games in his basement, and we almost died getting the kangaroo into his basement.
Yeah,
that's a heavy game.
Yeah, it's like the same cabinet that like Tempest and all those were in, or something like that. Right?
No, Kangaroo is actually about 100 pounds heavier than Tempest.
Really? Because
I can almost carry Tempest by myself. Kangaroo tipped over, and I said, "Oh my god, we're gonna die." Kangaroo weighed close to 375 pounds, and that hurt.
Oh, God. I mean, you can carry one of these by yourself?
A little ways.
Okay.
On a hand truck, or just pick it up and run?
Not run, sort of like, you know, move it. Kind of
okay.
pick step, you know, I can step. Yeah,
I had a vision of you like, okay, let it back and on your back or something. And
actually, I did do that once. My athletic days gave me strength to fill out with my height, and I took advantage of it.
Oh, so that wasn't your website, fitsummer.com?
Not anymore. Not anymore, but I think I had bigger biceps than she did.
Oh, my.
Yeah, no kidding. So, anyway, what does Summer do for fun now?
Summer for fun right now is doing a lot of paperwork so she can finish up massage therapy school and graduate and start doing massages. Because she is changing careers. She's running away from the tech support industry screaming with her hair on fire.
Had enough of it, huh?
Yay! I'm right behind you. I wish.
Yep.
So you've had enough, huh?
I have had enough. My new focus is going to be massage therapy, writing, and the many, many interests of the Dragon Page.
So we'll still hear you.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
Definitely. I'm having way too much fun to give that up anytime soon.
And it comes through too, because you know I usually listen to like any of those shows on the way to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, usually when I look at the time, I'm like, oh man, it's 45 minutes. I only got a 30-minute drive, you know. But anyway, I listen to it on the way to work, and it's like, it just sounds like y'all are having a party in there every time.
Pretty much. And winging it, when they pop the beer, you know, like all form goes out the window.
Yeah.
We tried that a couple of times on this show, but I have a hard enough time engineering all this stuff, as you heard earlier, that the beer just trashed the whole thing.
Yeah, I think Michael's limit on beer and working the board proficiently is 2.5 beers.
Oh,
2.5 beers.
I'm lucky if I get through one.
You know, I've gone out before, and this is when I first started to get on the net, and I was doing IRC. I went out, get some beer, and came back, and after I've been drinking for a while, I'm like, oh, I can't even touch these keys anymore. I start getting fat fingering the keyboard, and nobody can understand me typing or speaking. So I give up on that.
Dear Chuck, I love you, man.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so hey, I also want to ask you, how'd you hook up with these guys in my community?
I went to World Fantasy Con last year. Was my second one in a row. I had gone home for the one in D.C. in 2003, and it just so happened that the 2004 one was in Tempe, Arizona, my backyard practically.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking around in between panels and on my way to the dealer room, and I saw this table sitting up that said, you know, the Dragon Page, and there were these two bored-looking guys sitting there, and one of them was playing on a power book. So I stopped by and looked at the flyer, and the flyer said, looking for local readers of science fiction and fantasy. We have tons of books to review and not enough people to read them. You want to join up? And I said, ooh, really? So I introduced myself. I said that I had been reviewing books and movies for Fantastica Daily at the time. And so he pulled up a couple of, Evo pulled up a couple of my old reviews, and I pointed him in the direction of my first sale. My first piece of writing that I sold was a rant on what was wrong with the Matrix sequels. And he read it, by the way. Yeah, he was impressed, and he says, I believe you were very, very too kind. You held back. I'm like, I had to hold back because this was going into print. But they liked it, so Michael told me, he's like, hey, come up to my house, pick up some books. So I did, started reviewing books, and then one day I had gone up there to just like hang out with them, talk with them, listen to them record stuff, and they said, hey, you want to come down to KFYI with us? I'm like, what? Because at this time, they were still had a live show Sunday nights on literally the largest talk radio station in the Southwest, KFYI 550 AM. So I'm like, really? Seriously? I can watch you guys record? Sure. So I followed them down to the studio. I'm sitting in the big talk radio studio at KFYI.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Evo shoves the computer at me and says, deal with the instant messages. I'm like, okay. And oh, by the way, get on the mic. I'm like, what? So I was handling the instant messages, doing research on the web as they're talking, basically fact-checking them while they're live on the air talking about stuff. And I start interjecting, just, you know, talking, saying, no, you got that wrong. That was this movie. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Give me my mic back.
So I just basically started out, you know, literally fact-checking them, and it's gone on from there to where now I'm actually a full-blown producer scheduling the interviews and making sure they are not factually challenged while they're on the air.
Factually awesome. Challenged.
Yeah. I get the feeling that those two are factually challenged.
Especially when the beer gets out of
yeah.
hand.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck Chat.
Cool.
All right, just had to stick a couple of those in so people who are listening to these through other means know who they're still listening to.
Okay.
You're listening to Chuck Chat. Thanks, Leo. Now, we will circle around for some more summer stuff in... Well, you know, summer's almost over, but we'll circle around for some more summer stuff.
It's August. We're looking for another fall, a person named Fall.
Mm-hmm. Autumn. Autumn is a good
one. There are several autumns. I do know an autumn.
And June and April and, well, we won't go through what I wish was my black book. Craig, we have two topics here. Tell me a little bit about the scripts you're writing.
Well, you know, part of my problem is with all the information that I gather, like I use Dig, you know, to keep up with some tech news and stuff. And I also have my black book of RSS feeds that are highly guarded. You know, it's information that I get.
Oh, Engadget. Oh. That's the way he reads his news.
Yeah. Oh, another post. No. So, you know, after trying to clip these things together, I wanted to keep them all in one place. And I was like, what better way to do it? And I might as well just put it all in my blog. You know, and they can be blog posts, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, people can see what I'm, you know, looking at and interested in. So I started writing these scripts for, you know, I use WordPress as my blog. So I use blog lines for my feed reader. I use Dig for reading news, and they make it real easy to, you know, to dig items. You can read it from an RSS feed. And I use Delicious for my bookmarks. If you're not familiar with Delicious, it's much like Dig, where it's a social bookmarking tool. Everybody can see everybody's bookmarks and everything. I'm into these online services because I use a couple different computers. I don't want to go, where's that at? So anyway, that's why I'm consolidating all this data down into my WordPress. So I'm wrote some scripts, and I'm almost got it done where it's reading all these RSS feeds and putting in posts. And I was curious to see if anybody had thought this was a good idea or a bad idea, and if there are any alternatives that you can, you know, keep all your stuff that you're interested in one place. So it's easy to search.
Hmm.
How about you two?
No, it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Hmm. Trying to find out.
I can certainly see why you'd want to do that.
Yeah, because especially when we go to make our shows, I can look at what I've been, you know, got all in the past week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not doing any help on the Dig front, am I?
Planet. That's the thing. That's the one I'm looking for.
What's that?
Something called Planet. You ever look at that? Yeah, it's a flexible feed aggregator. Looks really cool. I've always wanted to play with it, just haven't had the time. It's at planetplanet.org.
As in PLANET twice, or is there an IT in there somewhere?
Nope. Okay. Planetplanet.org.
Not Janet Planet.
Nope.
I see. It's written in Python. Cool.
All right, cool. You guys read that. We'll do this.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're podcasting. Maybe I shouldn't read it. I should just...
Just, no, go there later.
Hi, this is Tim from Winecast, and when I want to get in touch with my inner geek, I go to Chuck Chat Technorama. 101, guys.
Oh, my. This is not your... Well, nothing is a standard Chuck Chat show around here. We don't have a plan time for anything.
At least we're consistent.
We're consistently inconsistent.
That's right.
We have. I also found an iPhoto plugin for Flickr. Interestingly enough, when I went back to get the link for this on Flickr, it wasn't there. They have some downloadable plugins for Windows, and I thought I saw one for Linux. I can't remember what the other one said. But I was looking for one for a Mac, and I said I want to be able to upload more than five pictures at a time. Through the web interface, you go, here's picture one, here's picture two, here's picture three, go. Mm-hmm. And I had 45 pictures to load, so I needed a better way to do this. Yeah, rather than taking 9 trips to the CGI shop. So I did a little searching, and they said, well, it's a third-party thing, and it's not really supported. It's called Flickr Export, of all things. And it's available on SourceForge, but the true link back to the site is connectedflow.com. Flickr Export, spelled the same way the site is, FlickrExport, and you will get it. It allows you to go into iPhoto. Did I say iTunes earlier? I may have.
I said
iPhoto. Oh, okay. I have iTunes on the brain for a moment. That's okay. When you talk, I don't listen to you either. I'm fooling around with sweepers and things.
Yeah.
Summer knows how it goes. She sees things like this.
Oh, yeah.
You can just close her eyes and imagine.
I caught Wayne's World the other night, and you know, where they go into the radio station, and the guy's going, yeah, So we could say anything, and you wouldn't think any of it. That's basically us.
That's classic.
It is.
But free add-in, free plug-in, you go into iPhoto, and when you say share photos, it comes up with the export screen, and it's one of the tabs up on the export screen. So you can say, oh, that's cool, select all 15 of those, export, boom, they're gone. You can even use multiple Flickr accounts, which I do. I have one for my family stuff and then one for the Chuck Chat stuff. And tag them and add things to all tags. Are we boring you now, Summer?
Not yet.
Okay, I heard a big yawn on the other end.
It was me. Hurry up, Chuck.
I just insulted our guest. Bad rule of show.
No biggie.
So that's what I've got for today, Bob. How about you?
Chuck Chat is the only show that you know you can go to fill your head in the kind of stuff like Cooper Geeks.
So, Summer.
Yes?
You were a webmaster at NBC?
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
I know that line from somewhere. Don't tell me!
Battlestar Galactica, man.
Yes.
You don't. How would you know? You won't watch it.
Huh?
Oh, he's on my case about BSG.
Oh, huh? You don't watch it? For shame.
I have to go through the story again. It's a shameful tale.
You don't have to. It's okay.
I watched it as a child. That is the memory I hold in my head. And podcasting is eating up so much time, I don't have time to take on another show.
Hey, you're digging on the new one if you talk like that, I'm telling you.
Season one is on DVD. Take your time.
Yeah.
Watch it at work, right?
Yeah.
Or quit work and watch that. Oh, these guys are a bad influence on me.
You'll survive. But yes, I was the first webmaster at NBC.com many years ago.
And how challenging
10 years
was
ago,
that?
Actually. Initially, not very, because nobody was taking the web very seriously back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've heard Adam Curry talk about, you know, early days when he had bought the MTV.com domain, mm-hmm. and started putting a site up there, and they were like, eh. And then by the time he left, they were like, they really were digging on it and wanted to make sure they didn't run off with it or something. And
right.
So that's why I was curious. What kind of response did you get back from them? What do you want to put on the page?
And it wasn't that. It was like they were like, you know, we want to put a website out there. Help us build one. So my supervisors for the consulting firm I worked for, they actually built. They put together the machine. When they put it together, turned it on. I mean, literally, it was a Spark 20. It was a Sun Spark 20. Flipped it on, and we're standing there watching it, going, cool. And then it's working. I'm like, all right, so I can log in there and drop everything in. I'm like, yeah, sure. So I was on my test bed machine building a CERN web server that was going to be just, you know, dropped as is on the external box. And my boss one of my bosses comes running back in. He's like, 17 minutes! Like, what? And he's like, it took 17 minutes. The machine was on the line only 17 minutes before somebody started knocking on the door.
Wow.
17 minutes. The machine, the name www.nbc.com had never existed before. It took them 17 minutes to find it and start knocking on the door.
That's amazing. For that day and age, that's amazing.
That just blew my mind. I'm like, what, huh? 17 minutes? Wow. So, you know, I built the code. I dropped it out there. They had this web design company putting, actually doing design. I was just a technical admin. They were putting stuff out there. I was going through their Perl code, making sure it wasn't stupid, riddled with potential backdoors, and blessing it and putting it up there. And within a year, literally a year later, they were doing the Olympics, and a coworker of mine spent 2 weeks in the server room babysitting like 15 machines.
We like to think big companies have sophisticated farms, but they don't all.
Nope. Not at that time. At that time, no. They've come a long way since then, but at that time, nope. Didn't happen.
Was it SunOS 4 or was it Solaris 2?
It was, I believe, 2.4 back then. 2.5 maybe had just come out.
Yeah, 95, 2.5 just came out because we bought a whole bunch of Ultra 1s at the time.
That's funny. I was just looking on archive.org, the Wayback Machine, to see what the site looked like.
Uh-huh.
When was that, 96?
That was early 90, mid-95 when I flipped it on because they wanted to have all this content ready for the fall 95 schedule. I registered during my time there, which was like several years. I spent time as webmaster, time as postmaster, time as hostmaster. Mm-hmm. I think during my hostmaster time, I personally was responsible for registering over 3,000 domain names for GE, including justjack.com.
What the heck?
98% of it they never used. They just took the names to prevent other people from using them.
Well, you know,
and
that's,
I'm like,
funny.
They're GE. They have the money to spend.
Sure. Yeah. I work at a law firm, and in one of the cities we're in the phone book, they spelled their domain wrong, or they in the ad, and it's the phone book. You can't just reissue the phone book, so we had to go register the domain to redirect. Well, we've got a bunch of domains like that, too. But yeah, I was looking at the NBC.com from October 96. It looks like it's the first time archive.org got a hold of it. Mm-hmm. And it says, what's hot? Get the ABCs of your favorite stars.
I couldn't even remember what was on that site back then if you paid me.
It looks just like a black page, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty interesting.
You're listening to the Technorama podcast, and this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
All right, we have to start wrapping it up here, kids.
No, I'm not ready.
We could go on all night like this.
I know.
Okay. What did we have? Oh, duh. I'm the one running the mouse, right?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcast.com. Expo.com.
Geek Thoughts. Why is it I can't remember people's phone numbers, but I can remember all their MAC addresses for all their machines?
I'm more of an IP number guy myself.
Yeah, I can. If you tell me a host name of a machine that I'm maintaining, I know exactly where it is.
Well, you only have to remember the important ones, really.
You know, when we first started messing with IP, you know, when I was doing computer stuff, I remember laying in the bed at night, and all I could see was numbers swirling around when I closed my eyes.
It's when you play a video game. You know, you play Tetris all day, you close your eyes, you see blocks. You cut the grass all day, you close your eyes, you see grass.
Yep. Right now I'm in charge of about 155 machines, and I know all their names.
And you're giving all that up to rub people's backs?
Yep.
I'm first in line.
Yeah, and luckily, hopefully I'll be able to start kickboxing again, which will be fun.
Kickboxing?
You're just not the typical person, or a female, I should say.
Craig, I have many skills.
Craig, yep. Didn't you? Ninja skills, nunchuck skills.
Hacker skills.
Craig, wasn't it you that said we're supposed to drive to the expo? But no, that was my coworker, Chad. He said, drive to the expo, but stop in Arizona first.
You know what? I drove through Arizona, and the last time I did, I don't want to go back.
Well, we could stop in for winging it.
There you go.
My transmission died out in Kingman. And the first two people that approached me were Bob and Jesus trying to buy my car. I'm not kidding.
Oh, man.
So forgive me if I'm a little hesitant to go back.
How much for just the tires?
It's like they're standing at the border. Hey, we got another one here. We can't fix it, but I can make you a good deal on it. Anyway.
All right, give them the contact information, Craig. We're going to wind this down.
All right. You can call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Like I should know that domain. I'm Craig. You can email me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And once again, don't forget our website, www.checkchat.com. And if you want to listen to Summer and Mike and Evo's and all their hijinks, go over to thedragonpage.com. They got about, 18 podcasts over there now?
three and maybe four.
Well, yeah, one in the four. Wings.
Yeah, kick-ass Mystic Ninjas, the call is out there.
Right. That reminds us, you're going to have to see the album artwork on the podcast. Well, of course, if you're listening to this, you're probably looking at it. But if you don't, if you're just walking around on your iPod, get back to your iTunes and take a look at it. Otherwise, look at it on your MP3 player. Craig came up with that at the last minute. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you can't have fun doing a podcast, don't do a podcast at all. Something like that. Oh, wait. No. Craig, you're the ones with the words of wisdom. What did you have?
I don't want Summer to end.
That's so sweet.
Summer, would you like to send us away with a binary high five?
101, guys.
Thank you very much. Take care, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Pac-Man.